Today we're going to learn Masechet Tamid, Daf Kaf Zayin. We'll start at the third line, Tnan Hatam. Okay, we're going to now quote a Mishnah in Midot. B'shlosha makamot ha-kohanim shomrim b'beit ha-mikdash, b'beit, okay, this is just like our Mishnah, b'beit ha-tinas, b'beit ha-mitzot, b'beit ha-mokev, in those three spots that we talked about. V'alevi'im b'eslim v'echad makamot. Remember, we quoted the Mishnah before as if our Mishnah said this. This is actually the Mishnah in Midot says that the Levi'im in 21 places. Now we're going to go through the 21 places. Chamisha, okay, there's a really nice picture in the Shah and Shtin on the next page. If you have it, you can turn. I think it's one page or two pages later. You'll see. And they have a nice little chart of where all the people are. It's very cute. Yeah, they have these little guys.
Navy guard. Yes, guard.
It's very nice. Cute. So, here we go. Chamisha, chamisha, sha'arei harabayit. Okay, there were five sha'arim of harabayit. So, five on the five sha'arim of harabayit. Okay, there's one on either side. And on the southern side, there were two entrances to harabayit. So, that was five. Dalid al arba pinotav mi bifnim. Then one shomer stands on one each of the corners on the inside of the corners of Harabayit. Chamisha chamisha sha'are azara. Then one on each of the five sha'arim to the azara. Now this is a bit strange because there's more than five sha'arim. There's seven according to most opinions. We'll see. So it's a little bit weird why five only and not all seven of them. The arba, arba pinotav mi bachutz. Okay, now another strange thing. The four shomrim that stood in the inner corners of Harabayit stood on the inside of Harabayit. Now, when we get to the azara, the four shomrim stand on the outer corners of the azara, not on the inner corners. We'll talk about this later. Echab lishkata korban, okay, which is unclear exactly what. There's now going to be three more. Okay, one in the lishkata korban, which is unclear exactly where it is. Some people say it's where the Lishkat HaTzla'im, where they kept the sheep that they would need for the Korban Tamid, which was in the Beit HaMoked. If you remember, we were talking about the Beit HaMoked the other day. That's where all the Kohanim were sleeping. And one of the areas in the Beit HaMoked is called Lishkat HaTzla'im. Ve'echab Lishkat HaParochet. This, if you look in the map of the in the Shanstein, they have 16, like outside, it's outside, it's in Harabayit, outside the Ezrat Mashim. They think maybe it's there. Nobody really knows where it is. I think they just put it in some random spot. Nobody really knows where Lishkat HaParochet is. It seems to be where they made the parochet, or sewed, you know, they used it for sewing the parochet. Ve'echad achorei Beit HaKaporet. And the third, last one, is outside, if you remember, there's this very narrow area in between the behind the Kodesh Kodeshim, before the wall of the Azara. Okay, it's still in the Azara. It's this area we've talked about before. It's this very narrow area outside there. If I remember, it's like 11 Amot or something. Is that sounds like a lot, though. Maybe it's, I don't remember the size, but it's not very wide.
Yeah.
So one would stand there. Okay, that's how we get to the 20. Those are where the 21 Levim stood. Minanimili, where do we get this from? Am Rav Yehuda Misura va'amr la b'manita tan, either Rav Yehuda Misura or it said in the Braita, dichtiv. Lamizrach, okay, here's the pasuk. This is a pasuk in Divrei Hayamim. Okay, lamizrach ha-levi'im, shisha. Okay, on the Mizrach side, there were six levi'im. Okay, you can start counting. Latzafona liyom, it says levi'im, but it should be liyom. That's really what it says in the pasuk. Litzfona liyom arba. You can see why they got confused. Liyom and levi'im is the same, right? You just switch a letter and they thought it meant levi'im, but it's each day. Latzafona, there were four. That's 10. La Negba in the south, La Yom Arba'a, okay, 14. Ula Sufim Shnaim Shnaim, that gets up to 18. Okay, we'll talk about the Asufim, what they are later. La Sufim Shnaim Shnaim, actually, I think it doesn't talk about in the Gemara what the Asufim are. The Asufim are basically the extra ones, not in any particular direction. It's those ones like the Lishkata Korban, Lishkata Parochet, and those. Which we're going to see, it's really just, okay, we're going to see soon. Now it sounds like it's four, even though we don't have four. Okay, we have the Lishkata Korban, Lishkata Parochet, and then the Achorei Beit HaKaporet, right, that little narrow area. But Asufim, we're going to refer to the first two we're going to see, because right now it says Shnaim Shnaim, it sounds like four. We're going to have to narrow it down to two. Okay, what are we up to in our count? We had six, 18. Four, we had 18. Okay, La Parbar La Ma'arav, Arba'a lemesila, shnayim laparbar. Okay, so now laparbar, they're going to say, for the on the side, okay, it's like laparbar, colon, okay, lema'arav, on the ma'arav side, there's four lemesila and shnayim laparbar. So in the ma'arav side, there's four for the mesila and shnayim laparbar. So now we get up to 24. This is weird, didn't we say there were 21? So, amre hane kafdalid havu. So they say this doesn't make any sense, so it's a nice remez for the 21, but it's a remez really for 24, not for 21. So Amar Abaye Hachi Kamar Lasufim Shnayim. They say, Lasufim isn't Shnayim Shnayim. It's not four. It's two. Like I said, the Lishkata Korban and Lishkata Kaporet. So then they say, okay, Akate Esrim Vishtrehav, but that doesn't resolve your problem. We're still only at 22. Right? Remember we talked about how they're a little off in their numbers sometimes. This wasn't a really good answer. So what do they say? Heachte Parbar Chad Havo. So they say, it says La Parbar Shnayim. It really means one. That seems a little weird, right? Why would you say two? I understand Shnayim Shnayim. Sometimes they repeat words in Psukim once in a while, right? They say, I don't know, Tim O Ma'al, right? Which really means the same thing. It's a little different. There's a verb. These are, okay, but one could say maybe Shnayim really means one. Okay. I mean, Shnayim really means two, but Shnayim to mean one doesn't make any sense. So what do they say? Here's a nice thing. Okay. The guy stood in the parbar. What's the parbar? We're going to see. It's the area that was that boded place, that isolated place behind the Beit HaKaporet, I think they call it. So, let's say here. Right, Acharei Beit HaKaporet. Okay, so now they say somebody stood with him to keep him company. Why? Mishum Dekaya Bahai, because he was outside. Nobody was with him. Right? It's a lonely spot. So they gave him someone to be with him. Okay, so really it only counts as one, because one is a Shomer, one is just there for the company. Myla Parbar, yeah, funny, right? What's this Parbar? How did they get from Parbar to Acharei Beit HaKaporet? Ma Kesha. Amarabar Shila Kimanda Amar Klape Bar. Klape Bar, it's right. Par Bar sounds like Klape Bar. It's what we call Notrikon. It kind of sounds like something else. And it means by the outside, right? He's on the outer area. Vibai De. Okay, so that's how we get to Par Bar. It's one. Okay. That's how we resolve. It says 24 in the Pasuk. It really is 21. And there we get a remez for the 21. But here's another answer. Ibai De Malolam Kaftali Kedichtiv. Really, there's 24, like it says. But Tlata Minayu De Koanim. Really, this means the Kohanim and Levim all together. So there were 24 spots because there were 3 Kohanim and 21 Levim. That makes perfect sense. So now, what's the issue? But it says Levim in the Pasuk. How can it mean Kohanim? If you remember, we've seen this a bunch of times. There's a reason why we've seen this a bunch of times, because it says, okay, Ba'Kohanim HaLevi'im B'nei Tzadok. He quotes one case where it says, the Kohanim, the Levi'im B'nei Tzadok, and B'nei Tzadok were Kohanim, they weren't Levi'im. Now, it's true. All Kohanim were Levi'im, because they're all from Shevet Levi. So therefore, just like it says there, Kohanim, Levi'im, and it means Levi'im, also in other places where it says Levi'im, it actually means Kohanim, and that's why it means, here we have Kohanim and Levi'im together, made up 24. Okay. Now we're going to go back to this Mishnah that we quoted in Midot and talk about the different, some issues about it. So it says there were five for the five Sharei HaRabayit and Arba'a Mipinotav Mitocho, right? Then on one of the four corners on the inside. Then we had Chamisha Sharei Azara Arba'a Pinotav Mibachut. And then in the Azara, they stood on the outside of the corners. Maishna harbayit avdina mitocho. Why in harbayit were they in the inside? Umaishna azarad avdina mibachutz. And why in the azarad were they outside in the corners? So amre harbayiti tamu ubayim etav yativ. If you got tired in harbayit and you wanted to sit on the job, right? Now you think about, okay, if we go back to our army comparison, I think in Shmirah you have to always stand. I think you're not allowed to sit. But in here, they said, look, if you got tired, in other words, they were, right? If you got tired, so they allow you to sit. Maybe because, right, army, they're really actually watching for things. And in this case, it was really just out of respect. On the other hand, if you think about it, right, the changing of the guards, and you see all these guards outside these palaces, nobody ever sits. So it's interesting. But here they have Rahmanis on them. They said, you know, if they needed to sit, they got tired, they allowed them to sit. And therefore, Amrina Mitocho, in Har Abayit, there was not a problem. Therefore, they put them on the inside corners, and then they could sit if they needed. But Azaradi, Tamu, Bai Lametav, Lomatzi Yativ, Damar Mach, the only people who are allowed to sit in the Azara are the kings. Kings from Beit David. Nobody else could sit in the Azara, and therefore, Amrina Mibachut. So they let the Shomrim sit outside. So if they need to sit down, they'd be allowed to sit down. Amar. Chamisha al Chamisha Sharei Azara. Right now we get back to the problem about five Sharei Azara. Aren't there seven of them? Chamisha Sharim Udahavi Bazara Rumimhi. Shiv'a Sharim Hayu Bazara. Shlosha B'tzafon, Shlosha B'darom, Ve'achah B'mizrach. So weren't there seven sharim? So Amar Abaye, Tchei Minayu Lo Tzrichei Shimur. First answer is, Yeah, there were seven, but only five of them needed Shmira. You didn't need Shmira on every single shahr. Why? Again, it's not like they're worried about infiltrators. So, out of respect, they put up in five. Maybe five, can you get the five in Har HaBayit, so they have five in the Azara. But Rava gives a different answer. Rava Amar Tanaihi. He says it's a machloka tani. Now, what would you expect him to bring? So we have five and we have seven, right? So that's seven we know from a Tanaitic source. So you'd assume he's going to bring a Tanaitic source that says there were five. But in fact, he's going to bring a Tanaitic source that doesn't exactly say that. But we'll see. I don't want to give it away. D'tanya, ein pochatim mishloshasar gizbarim u'mishiva amar kelim. Okay, you need 13... I don't know how they translate
managers.
This. What?
Managers.
Managers. Okay, even though Gizbar is usually a treasurer. Here it means managers and seven Amar Kalim. What's the word they use?
Supervisors.
Supervisors. Okay, they're titles for people. Okay, there were 13 of these and seven of these. Rabbi Natan Omer, Ein pochatim mishloshasar gizbarim kineged shloshasar sharim. Okay, why do you need 13 gizbarim? Because there were 13 sharim. Okay, well, let's do the count. Okay, so we know there's five in Har HaBayit. Everybody agrees about that. So get rid of those. And how many are you left with? Pasha luhu timnai. You're left with eight. So what does that show? Right? Timnaya da azara. Eight of the azara. Now, what does this prove? Well, we were looking for someone to say that there's a tani edik, but there's five. This shows there's eight. So what are they basically going to claim? Alma ikatana damar timnaya hava, v'ikatana damar shiva, v'ikatana damar chamisha havu. There's the fact that we have one source that says eight, and one source that says seven, and both of those are from the Tanaitic times. And now we have this source that says there were five Leviim Shomrim on five Sharim of the Azara. This must mean there's three opinions about it. And the proof was, it's not agreed upon that there's seven. There's a debate whether there's seven or eight. Likewise, there must be a debate about whether there are five, and this source could theoretically be saying there's only five. Okay, so either we say there's really seven and they only guarded five of them, or Rava says, no, in fact, there were only five according to this opinion. Back to the Kohanim, go to sleep. Remember, what do? They sleep in that Beit HaMoked, and they take off their clothes and they put them tachat rashehem, according to this, right? They take off their Brigdei Kehunah, they wear pajamas or some other kind of clothes. And what do we, so now we're going to say, lo yushani b'bigdei kodesh. Finally going to get into something a little bit halachic here. Shena hu deloa val hiluch mahalchim, right? They didn't sleep, but it sounds like they could walk because it says they couldn't sleep in their clothes and their bigdei kehunah. Sounds like, but they could walk around randomly if they wanted in the Beit HaMikdash with their kohen clothes even when they weren't doing avoda. Shmat mina, bigdei kehunah, nitznu le'anot behem. What do you see here? They can actually benefit from bigdei kehunah. So Amre, hu adinda, filu hiluch nami lo. No, in fact, you couldn't walk either. Why does it say you can't sleep in Bigdei Kehunah when theoretically it should be saying you can't walk in Bigdei Kehunah when you're not using them for purposes of avoda? The reason why they chose that wording was because they wanted to teach you the end, which was Ela poshtenu mekaplim menichinotam tachat rashehem. In other words, the context they were sleeping. So they said they didn't sleep in their clothes, they took them off, they put them in a nice pile, and they put it under their heads. Okay, but then they say v'hagufa kakashi, but the whole thing that doesn't make any sense. The whole idea is you can't benefit from them at all. Not when you're sleeping, not when you're walking around randomly at the Beit HaMikdash. You have to take off your clothes and, change into something else. When you're not doing avoda, well then, it doesn't make any sense, because what does it say in our Mishnah? Katani Resha, Nami lo yushin, v'hagufa kakashi, v'nichim otam tacha rashehen. They would put them as a pillow under their heads. It sounds like you could actually benefit from them. So what are the answer? Ema negev rashehem. I already said this when we learned the Mishnah. It means they put it next to their heads. So I'm Rav Papa, Shema Mina. Rav Papa's going to say something totally not related. Or, again, this is just an aside, I would say. Not totally unrelated, but Shema Mina. One can infer from here. Tfilim inatzad shariyam velochashina dilma mignidar v'nafil alayu. If you want to sleep with tefillin right next to you, you don't have to worry you're going to roll over on them. And they'll be disrespectful to the tefillin. No, you're allowed to. And you can put tefillin next to you, just like they put the Bigdei Kehunah Gdola next to you. Okay, it was an aside, because now we're getting back to the main topic. So now they say, Hachinami Mistabra. Now we can prove even further that to Kenegev Rashahem, it was clear they didn't sleep on them, but next to them. Because, Iyamar Tacha Rashahem, Nihitin Itnu Lehenopahem, Tepukle Mishumisura de Kilayim. They say like this. Even if, until now we assumed you can't benefit from them, and that's why you have to put them next to you and not under you. But now they're going to say, even if you don't agree with that, and you think they could actually benefit from them and wear them in the Beit HaMikdash when they weren't using them, they still couldn't sleep on them. Why? Because the Begadim had kilayim. How do we know the Begadim had kilayim? Well, it's not so clear. So they say, Hani Chalamanda Amar, and this we've seen a bunch of times, Avneto Shel Kohen Gadol Lo Zehu Avneto Shel Kohen Etyot. The Avnet of the Kohen Gadol was known to have Kilayim in it, okay? But the question is, was the Avnet of the Kohen Gadol the same as the Avnet of the Kohen Etyot, or was put the reverse? Was the Kohen Etyot's Avnet made of the same material as the Kohen Gadol and also had Kilayim or not? So if you say it's not the same, then you can explain it very well and say, that's why, right? Again, if that's why they were allowed to theoretically sleep on it, this was all to prove that it must be Keneged Rosh Hashanah, because even if you say you can benefit from it, you for sure can't sleep on Kilayim. So they say, well, maybe you could say it's not Kilayim. But Leman Damar Avnei Toshel Kohen Etyot Zehu Avnei Toshel Kohen Gadol. But if you say it was actually Kilayim Ma'ika LeMeimar, then how can you say, right? And therefore, it must be that clearly they weren't sleeping on it; they were sleeping next to it. So now they're going to suggest a few other things, though. V'chitei Ma'Kilayim Ba'Aliyahu Levishahu Dasro. Notice the pasuk about Kilayim says, "Kilayim Ash Ubege Kilayim Shanez Lo Ya'ale Alecha." You can't put upon you. In this case, he's not putting it upon him; he's sleeping on it. So maybe kilayim is only usur to put upon you or to wear, right? You know, just put upon you, what would that mean? Like throw a blanket over your shoulders or wear his clothing. But maybe it's not usur to sleep on top of it. Aval me'mach tachtute shapir dami. Tute means tachte, underneath you. But to place it underneath you, maybe that's okay. Maybe that's why. But then they say, can't say that because Vahatanya, remember, it started with Vahitema. And if you want to say that, well, you can't say that because, says Nebraita, Lo Yale Alecha, that's a quote from the Pasuk, Avala Tamitzio Tachtecha. Well, theoretically, you could put it under you. However, the Braita continues, Avala Muchachamim, Asur La Asotken, Shemati Karech Nima Chata Basecho. We're worried that maybe a thread will come out of it and attach itself to your body, and then you'll have it on top of you. So you can't sleep on it in case it comes to sleep, in case it comes to be on you. Well, then they suggest like this. This is like the princess and the pea. V'chitema demafzik midi. Maybe you could put something in between you and the kilayim. Okay, maybe he slept on a pillow, and under the pillow he put his clothes, his big gekun, and then, number one, you're not wearing it. It's not on top of you. And you have to worry about a thread coming on you because you have something in between you blocking it. Well, ha'amara, you can't say that, because ha'amara v'shimon, ha'amara v'yeshua ben Levi, ha'amara v'yosi ben Shaul, mishum ka'ala kadisha di Yerushalayim. Okay, there was a long masoret about this, going back to the holy community of Yerushalayim, or the holy people of Yerushalayim. Afilu eser matza'od zo agav zo. Okay, even if this is the princess and the pea, there were 10 mattresses, one on top of the other. V'kilayim tachtehen asor lishon alehem. Okay, if you have one little piece of kilayim underneath, you know, you couldn't sleep on it either. That's what's the reason? Once they made Xera, they made Xera in every situation, so you don't start getting people who don't know about this. Okay. So therefore, one must conclude, since this was Kilayim, right? In other words, if it was Kilayim, depending on that, then Shmamina Neged Rashehen. Okay? And now they say, no, again, you wouldn't necessarily prove it from here. In other words, again, the whole thing we started with was, can you benefit from them or not? If must be you can't benefit from them, and that's why they did it Neged Rashehen. But then they say, no, maybe you could benefit, but then it would be a Kilayim problem. But now they're going to say, no, it doesn't prove anything because the whole thing was to prove. They obviously put it next to them. Because you could say, only the Avnet had Kilayim. The other ones for sure didn't. So maybe those he put under his head, and the Avnet was separate. Rav Ashi Amar, which again would then prove that maybe he could actually benefit from them, just, and there's no Kilayim problem. And those were the two potential issues. So we could try to, you know, say, one's not an issue because you can't benefit, and the other one's not an issue because it doesn't have kilayim. Rav Ashi Amar, another reason why theoretically it maybe didn't have Isser kilayim, even if it was the Avnet, and even if the Avnet was Shanes, Bigdei Kuna Kashinhem, he says they were very hard, and Amar Rav Huna, Bered Rav Yoshua, Ha Nam Tagamda Denarash Sharia. The clothes for this type of material that came from Narash, it was a city, is mutar because it's so hard. And if the clothing is hard, then there's no Isser Kilayim because people don't wear hard clothing generally. And maybe you could say the Bigdei Kuna were this rough material, and therefore there was no Isser Kilayim. Okay, now there's this part in parentheses. Again, whether we read it or not, I don't know, but we'll read it anyway because it's a long section to skip over. Now they bring in this source, Tashma, again with our issue, can you benefit or not? Okay, until now the Sugya seemed to say you can't benefit, and that's why they put it Neged Rosh Hashanah. But now they're going to bring a source that seems to say you can. Bigdei kuna yotzei behen lemedina asur. You can't leave the Beit HaMikdash wearing them. Ubamikdash bein b'shat avodah bein shelo b'shat avodah mutar. Mipnei shebigdei kuna nitnu lehenot behem. So shmamina, right? What can you infer from here, right? That big day kuna nitzu lehenot bahem, okay? Because they can wear them, again, you can't wear them out of the mikdash, but you can wear them in the mikdash. Now the Gemara is going to ask, super medina lo, really, you can't wear them outside the Beit HaMikdash? Hey, we have a story where they did. V'hatanya b'kaf aleph bo, yom har grizim. This is a list of days that you can't fast. Okay, there were holidays, delola mispid, you can't do eulogies, and you can't fast, etc. This is the 21st day of Kislev, called yom har grizim. What happened on that day? Kidi'it b'yom ha'perek b'alakoyen gadol, karo v'chule, ad v'chule. Okay, what's the story? The story is the Shomronim convinced Alexander Mokdon to come destroy the Beit HaMikdash. So there's this group of Shomronim coming with Alexander Mokdon, and on the other side is coming the Jews, and Shimon HaTzadik is standing at the head, and he comes with his big day kuna, okay? And he comes out, and they get closer to each other, and Alexander says, who are those people? And they say, oh, those are the Jews that rebelled against you. And he says, oh, you know, and they're already riled up against them. As they get closer and they see each other, Dafka and Antipatris, which is not far from here, they meet in Antipatris, and they say, Alexander Mokdon sees Shimon HaTzadik with his Pidei Kuna, and he says, that's the image, he bows down to him, and they say, what are you bowing down to him? He says, that's the image of the person that I see when I go out to war, and he helps me win the wars. And basically, you know, and then they say, you know, what are you coming for? And they say, they want to destroy us. And then he says, you know, you're going to destroy the person who's praying for you, you know, and then they say, ah. And then in this basically Purim style story, it's obviously kind of borrowed from the Purim story. And then they say, and he says, ah, you can do to the Shomronim whatever you want. And then they destroy the Shomronim's temple in Har Grizim. And then they kill the Shomronim, you know, and they win the war. Very pleasant story, right? And they win the war, and that becomes this holiday. So what do you see? He walked out with his clothing on.
You get an entire generation of kids named Alexander.
Right.
And yeah, forever fair. After, it's become a Jewish name.
Yeah, fair. So, Ibait Emaru Yinhen Lebig De Kuna, someone who has a son with that name, right? So, Ibait Emaru Yinhen Lebig De Kuna, Ibait Ema Ela Sola Shemefer Toatecha. They say, ah, that's not a problem, because either, number one, they weren't really Big Day Kuna, it was just very regal looking clothing, or sometimes, you know, in a problem, when there's a big problem and everything's going to get destroyed, right? You're allowed to do things against the law. Okay, back to, this was all, we started with this Mishnah from Midot about all the Kohanim, the Levi'im, where they were Shomer. Now we're back to our Mishnah. So if you remember, they're sleeping in the Beit HaMoked. If one of them sees Keri in the middle of the night, what does he do? He goes in these underground tunnels. So we rak Keri b'cha mehem v'chulei. Misayel el Rabbi Yochanan. This must support Rabbi Yochanan's opinion. Da'amar mechilot lo nitkadshu. The first thing he said relates to ours, which is the underground tunnels weren't sanctified, and that's why he was allowed to walk there. And another thing Rabbi Yochanan said was, "Bal keri mishdalech chutz l'shnei machanot." What are the shnei machanot? Right, the harabai, the azara, and the harabai, and that's why he couldn't go into there. Right, he had to leave through this. He needs to go through those underground tunnels. Actually, that's not so related to this. That's just after. And remember, in the morning, then he goes out. Remember that whole thing? It was so that you'd see if someone was in the bathroom, you'd see if the door was locked, and you know, you'd know not to go in. Rav Safra habayate bebet hakisei. Now we're going to have a story about two Amoraim in the bathroom. So Rav Safra was in the bathroom, an interesting story. At Rabbi Abba Nacharle, he made some noise outside, right? Outside the bathroom to see if someone was there. Amarle, so Rav Safra hears him, and he says, Leomar, come in. Okay, it's a little strange, but hard enough. Like after he goes out, Amarle Rabbi Abba, and those, I think the story is that Rabbi Abba didn't go in, and it's, he realized someone was in there, and he didn't go in. But after he goes out, he says, Amarle Rabbi Abba, Adkan lo slika l'seir, gamar mila d'seir. And you haven't even gone to the har seir, where like the non-Jews live, and you're already acting like them. Lav hachitan, doesn't it say in our Mishnah, mitzaona obi adua shiyesh hamadam. L'meimra d'lo l'bahi l'mei l'meal. In other words, wasn't the whole thing there that if you got there and you saw it was locked and you don't go in? Why were you telling me to go in when you're in the bathroom? It's not appropriate for me to go in while you're in the bathroom. So Rav Safra Savar, you know, now we want to understand, what was Rav Safra thinking? Why did he tell him to come in the bathroom? Dilma Misukan, who he thought that maybe it was dangerous. Now, you might think, oh, there's danger outside and he's got to come in. No, no, no. What's the danger? Kedetanya Rashbag Omer Amura Choser Meviyat Adam Lidei Hidrokan. If you hold it in, you constipate yourself, you could get this disease called Hidrokan. Silon, if you hold in when you need to urinate and you hold it in, Silona Choser, right? Choser means it comes into your, right? Goes back into your body. You don't let it out. Meviyat Adam Lidei Hidrokan. It causes jaundice. So what are they saying, basically? You know, he thought that he really needed to go, and he didn't want to delay him. He was worried he was going to get sick. Okay, another thing about this, Hidrok and Yerakon, Amarle Rav Lechia Bore, Vachen Amarle Rav Huna Le Rabba Bore, Chashech Taki Nafshech, Vekadim Taki Nafshech. Go to the bathroom early in the morning and late in the day. Why? Because Kihechi Delo Tircha. Make sure, do it at times when it's convenient for you, because otherwise you'll end up during the day out and about in the street. They would do it like on the street. The streets were busy. You'd have to go far away to find a place where there's no people. So better to do it in the morning and the night when there's not a lot of people around, and then it's easy to go. Otherwise, you're going to end up in this place where in the middle of the day where you need to go, and you're going to have to hold it in for a while until you find a place, and you'll get sick. Okay. Tuv vigale kase vikom shtof shtof. Okay, what should you do? So now, now they're saying this other thing, which is when you go to the bathroom, sit, then remove your clothes, then cover your clothes, and then get up for new reasons. Now that they got into this, they're going to get up on another tangent about something else, which is shtof v'shate, shtof v'achit. When you drink, first rinse your cup, then drink, and then rinse it again, and then put it down, so that if somebody else takes your cup, they won't get your germs. And if you pick up a cup, maybe someone didn't wash it, so you should wash it off from germs. And when you're drinking water, spill a little bit out. If you still have water left in the cup, don't dump it all, because they didn't want to waste. Right here you see they were very into recycling. Don't waste the water, but pour a little bit out, so that your germs go out. I don't know if this really works, right? Usually we don't really think this works until you wash it off. But pour a little water out, because with that will go your germs, basically. Okay? Now, why this? Why about your Rav and your Talmid? Kidetanya. In the following, Breita, it says, Lo yishta adam mayim v'yitain l'talmido, elen ken shafach mehen. Okay? You shouldn't do this, it says in the Breita, unless you pour a little water out. Don't give it to your student. Why? U'maseh b'echad sheshata mayim. There was a rabbi who drank water, v'lo shafach mehen. He didn't pour anything out. V'natan l'talmido. Gave it to a student. V'oto talmid istin yisayin. This guy was a germ freak. V'lo ratza lishtot. He didn't want to drink from it. U'meit batzama. Okay? He died of thirst. So what do you see? This could happen, right? You know, because the guy was a germ freak, so he died of thirst. Botasha amru, it's interesting. They don't tell the istinis to change his ways. They tell the teacher to change his ways. Lo yishta adam mayim v'yitain l'talmido, elem ken shafach mehem. The student, out of respect for the teacher, didn't want to say, oh, ichs, I'm disgusted by your water. I need to pour a little bit out. So he didn't. And as a result, he died of thirst. So therefore, the teacher should do it so that the student doesn't end up being put in that position where they die of thirst. Obviously, it's a little extreme. Rav Ashi amar, and Rav Ashi says, we can learn something else in the story. It's not disrespectful if he were to do that. In other words, obviously this student didn't do it, he didn't want to disrespect his rabbi. But he's saying it's not disrespectful to do that because, you know, better to drink. Okay, another context of things that you can do in front of your rabbi that might have been thought of disrespectful. Well, you shouldn't spit in front of your rabbi, like you have some food in your mouth left or something, you know, left over, some saliva from something. Don't spit in front of your rabbi. Bar mikara v'daisa, unless it's from the zucchini family or squash family or porridge. Dikiptila shalavardam, because if you have, okay, this was again, this the rabbi's thinking that they're also health experts. There was, if the saliva that's left in your mouth after you eat those things is dangerous, they say so dangerous, it's like you have hot lead going down your throat, and therefore that you're allowed to spit in front of your rabbi because it's sakana nefasho, basically. Okay, we'll stop here.